Today's daf is Nida Daf Chof Ches, and we are 5 lines from the bottom. The first wide line of Daf Chof Zayin Amid Beis Reish Lakish Amar. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza. So the Gemara is going to conclude its discussion of the Machlekes between Reb Shimon and Reb Meir. Shilya Bebayis. It was a Stam Mishnah on Daf Chavav Amar Aleph. The Gemara brought a Braisa that attributed this halacha to Rav Meir. Most Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir. That if there's a shilya, an afterbirth, a placenta, that's what a woman delivers after she gives birth to a child. But in this case, there was no child. So clearly, an embryo was developing inside this shilya, and then it miscarried. Right now, the shilya's in the bayis. We don't see any sign of the vlad. Rav Meir said, habayis tamei. The house is going to be tamei. The reason is, because ain't shilya bavloi vlad. If there's a shilya, there's a chazaka that there was a vlad. If there was a vlad, in this case, the vlad is not alive. It's tamei tumas meis. As a result, anything that's in the oil of this bayis is going to be tamei tumas meis. Rav Shimon, Rav Yosi, and Rav Yehuda all argued. And they said, nimoy kavlad ad shelo yetze. In English, the halacha is that we are not concerned for Tumas oil, even though they accept the premise that if there's a placenta, presumably there was a vlad. But as it relates to Tuma in the bayis right now, there's not going to be Tumah. The Gemara was discussing my time of the Reb Shimon. And Lamaskana, we ended up, after a whole omid and a half of Gemara, with the first pshat in the Gemara, and that is Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan said, Mishum bitl b'rayv nagupa. Reb Shimon agrees and shilya b'lay vlad. He, however, holds that this vlad clearly disintegrated. It was nisarev with the blood that the woman naturally has from the leda. The blood is roiv, the vlad is the miut. You have the principle that you have in Kol HaTorah Kula, bitl b'roiv, so that although it's true, there is a vlad, and the vlad would be tomei tomas meis, but in this case, it's batal to the dam, even though the dam is tomei. Tumma could be mevatel tumma. The point is that the vlad is bottle. If it's bottle, it has no ability to be metamish. Shlokish Amir, Shlokish is the second shot in the Gemara. Shvir shetarfu b'meim of nasa kemesh and is balbala tzurasai. Rishlokish said a chiddush in the laws of Tumas Meis. He applied it to this shittas Reb Shimon, and that's the way he explained Reb Shimon. And that is, there's a halacha that a mace that's nisbalbal tzurasai. So you have a corpse, but the tzura was completely nisbalbal. It's not recognizable anymore. It has no similarity whatsoever to a human. In that case, the halacha is, even if you have the shiurim of tuma, it's not going to be metama. So Reish Lakish said that Reb Shimon held that when the shvir, this miscarried embryo, comes out of its mother's womb, at that point it was tarfu. It's mixed, Rashi says, with the meleda. It's mixed with the dam. It's the equivalent thereof to a mace that was nisbalbal tzurasai. And just like a mace that's nisbalbal tzurasai doesn't have the ability to be metama, the shvir wouldn't have the ability to be metama either. Meaning Reb Yochanan held that really the mace does have the ability to be metama. It's just that it's batal b'roiv. According to Reish Lakish, the mace, according to Reb Shimon, doesn't have the ability to be metama at all. What does Reb Meir hold? What do the Chachamim hold? So you could really learn in one of two ways. Either you can learn they disagree with the premise that when Reish Lakish said a chiddush of mace and espabel tzurasai, he was only saying it according to Reb Shimon. He wasn't saying it according to Reb Meir. But k'muvan, that's a little bit dachuk, that this machlokes between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon in the Mishnah, Reb Meir, Reb Yosi, reading Reb Shimon in the Braisa, is this very macro machloikis in the world of Tumas Meis of a Mesha and Esbal Butzerasa. It's more mistaber that the Chachamim held in Reish Lakish's understanding of Reb Shimon the same thing that the Chachamim held in Reb Yochanan's understanding of Reb Shimon, and that is that they agree that at some point the mace will be nisbalbal tzurasai, but they don't agree that it's nisbalbal as soon as it's delivered. And although mace nisbalbal tzurasai, the halachas doesn't have the ability to be metama, but when it's born, it wasn't nisbalbal tzurasai yet. Whereas Reb Shimon held it was nisbalbal tzurasai nimei kavlad. That's his lashon in the Mishnah. The Chachamim disagree, and they hold that that wouldn't be true until at some later point. And it's for that reason, according to the Chachamim, if the shilya is b'bayis, the bayis is going to be tameh. It's only according to Reb Shimon that it's nasa k'mesh and esbabel tzuras. I'm only Reb Yechon Reshosh, we're talking Reish Lakish. Mesh and esbabel tzuras, I mean, Allah. And he said, where do you get this from? It's not a Mishnah. It's not a braisa, certainly not a pasuk. Some of you know, and how do you know this? The Tar. Do you know it from the following statement of the Amira, Mesha Nisraf? A mace was burnt. Vishildoi kayemes. The guf was still kayem. So it was burnt, but it's still recognizable as a human guf. The halach is tame. It's tame. My side, there was a story. V'timu loy psachim gedoylim. V'tiar loy psachim tanim. There was a maisa shechaya kachaya, rachmano litzlan, where a human being was nisraf. The sheled was still kayim. And the chachamim said that all the psachim gedoylim are going to be tame, but all the psachim kitanim are going to be tar. Now, in order to properly understand this, we'd have to be a little bit more versed in Masechta Zoharis. But very quickly, if a mace dies, anything that's in the oil of the mace becomes tame. Not just that. If there's an open window or an open door, anything that's on the other side of the door, on the other side of the window, will become tame tumas mace as well. Because tumas mace travels through openings. What happens if there are doors, but the doors are closed? So then you would think that the tumah gets boxed in. But it's not so simple. And the reason is because there's another halacha in tumas oil, and that states that being that inevitably the mace at some point is going to be taken out of this room, it's going to be buried somewhere, we know for sure it's going to leave one of the psachim. If it's going to leave one of the psachim, the pesach that it's going to leave from becomes tameh right now, even though the door is closed. Meaning, al shem ha'asid, almost like a brera sugya, we look at it right now as if the tumah is able to travel through it. So if you know which door the mace is going to be taken out of, it's very obvious, there's one door that people go in and out of, the other doors are lenoi, then it's obvious that that's the door that's going to be tumah. What happens if there are many doors, and you don't know which door the mace is going to be taken out of? So then there's another halacha, and that says that any door that's four tfachim or big, four tfachim meaning that's a door that it could reasonably make sense will be the door that you'll take the mace out of, is going to be tummy. Any door that's pachos midalat falchim, it's less mistaber that you're going to take the mace out of that door. So whatever's on the other side of those doors will not be tummy. In the event that you have a kezayis min a mace, meaning you don't have a full mace, you only have a kezayis of a mace, being that the kezayis is so small, so there it's possible that you'll take it out of even a smaller door, even a door that's less than dalet al dalet. Dalet al dalet is a tzuras ha-pesach when you're dealing with removing an entire human corpse. But if you're dealing with the revius of dam or a kezayis or atzamos, so then you may take it out of even a smaller door. So there the halacha would be that even if the door was less than dalet al dalet and it was closed, the halacha is that all the doors would be tamei, not only the larger ones. In this case, a mace died and the sheled was kayemes, meaning the tzura, the entire guf, was still kayem. And the halacha was, they paskined, there were a lot of closed doors, they said the psachim gedoylim are all tamei, and the psachim kitanim were all tar. Says the Gemara, v'kataykes mina. You know what it sounds like? Tamei the shalot kayem is. It sounds like the only reason there was tumah in this Mishnah is because the shalot was kayem. But if not tar, it sounds like it would be tar. So maybe this is the makar to the halacha that mesh and esbabu tzurasoi is tahar, because you see that the only reason they were metame the psachim gedoylim was because it was shodei kayemes. Sounds like that was an integral part of the story. But if the shelad wasn't kayem, the psachim gedoylim would not have been tame. Ah, so you see this halacha mesh and esbabu tzurasoi is tahar. But the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan told me shalkesh. If this is your makar, adarabim, I don't think that's a good diak. You know why the story had to be that the shelad was kayim? Because the psak halacha was very much related to that detail. That's why that detail was set over in the story. Because doik mina lahaygisa shilde kayemes hu detir le psachim ketanim. Because what was the psak? The psak was that they said the psachim gedoylim are going to be tamei, the psachim ketanim are going to be tarei. We just spoke out. When is that true? That's true if you have an entire body. But if you have only parts of a maze, so then even the psachim ketanim are going to be tamei. Halaf achi psachim ketanim nami mitamei dechol chad v'chad chazi lafuki. The reason we mentioned that the shalot was kayim is because, again, it was pertinent to the psak that only the psachim gedoylim are tamei, not the psachim ketanim. But anachinami, even if the shalot wasn't kayim, there would have been tumah. Not only would there have been tumah, there would have been more tumah. Because not only would the psach, that's the other rabba, there would have been even more tumah perhaps. Not only the psachim gedoylim would have been tumah, but the psachim ketanim would have been tumah as well. Says the one of the Ravina, the Rav Ashi, Rav Yochanan, Tumah Kiman. Rav Yochanan clearly doesn't hold this halacha of Mesha and Esbalbel Tzurasei. Why was he so sure that there's no such halacha? So it's interesting. The Gemara goes from Minolan that there is a halacha that Mesha and Esbalbel Tzurasei is tar. And the mother doesn't seem to have a real makar. It's not from a pasuk, it's not from a mishnah, it's not from a brisa. I'm Tzchius, by the way. Tzchius says that usually if the Gemara says minolon, the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk, mishnah, or brisa at the very least. Minolon? Oh, another Amora said that. You usually don't find that as being a minolon. Matzchias has a nice discussion about that. But either way, the Gemara didn't have a real Makar. And then the Gemara flips. The Gemara says, how did Rabbi Yochanan know that there's no such halacha? What do you mean? There's no Makar that there is such halacha. So why would you think that Rabbi Yochanan has to hold of it, that we're now going to ask why Rabbi Yochanan didn't hold of it? But either way, that was Ravina's question to Rav Ashi. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kamatz said, Rabbi Eliezer, he knew it from Rabbi Eliezer. Time we learned in the Mishnah, Efer Srufin, Rabbi Eliezer says, Shir Beroiva, that if you have ashes of a mace, so there's a shear of how much ashes of a mace is going to be Tameh. Meaning, it seems like the mace was cremated, you have the ashes of it now, and still we're talking about Tumas mace. Clearly the shell of it is not Kayim, so you see this halach of mace and this Babel Tzurasa is going to be Tomei. Now, by the way, it sounds like it's Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, not the Chachamim Shita, which bolsters the question even more. So if there's a Chachamim that argue with this Rabbi Eliezer, maybe that's the Makar to the Manola and how you know this halach of mace and this Babel Tzurasa. I am Berishayinim. Zok de Gemara, Heichi Domi mace and Nisraf, Vishulda Kayim. So Gemara asks the Metzias question. A technical question. How's it possible? How's it possible that a corpse was burnt, it was cremated, but the tzura of the guf is still kayim? Says the Gemara, very technically, Amar Abayo, one possibility is given to serve a gabe ka tavlo. You took a leather board and you engraved in it the mold of a human corpse. The significance of the katavlo is that it's fireproof. And then they burnt the mace on this leather thing. The leather didn't burn because it was fireproof. The body did, but being that it burnt into the mold of a human corpse, so it's technically tzurasa kayemes. Rav said the same thing. It wasn't katavlu, it was a poidrin. A poidrin is marble. Rabina said, it's talking about where it was burnt, but it wasn't burnt through and through. It wasn't cremated to the point that it's ashes. So it's considered that it was Nisraf, but at the same time, it could be a shildei kayemes. Tan Rabbanan. Hamapelis yad chatucha v'regel chatucha. What happens if a woman miscarries a hand or a foot of a human child, but we don't know anything about the child? So we never saw the child. We know if the child was a zachar. We know if the child was in a keva. And by the way, we don't even know if the child was a bar kayama. We don't know anything about this child. All we know is that this woman just miscarried a hand. She miscarried a foot. We never saw the rest of the body. Says the Braisa, imay tmei leida. The halacha is she's going to be tmei leida, and the chiddush is ve'en choishes in shemei migufatim ba. You not say that maybe the yad or the regal came from a guf atum. It came from an unhealthy child, a child that maybe wouldn't trigger tumas leida. No, pelis yad chatucha, regal chatucha. The halacha is imay tmei leida. Obviously, we don't know if it's a zachar in a cave, so you have to go lechumra. But the chiddush is that we for sure assume that she gave birth to a healthy child. Now, incidentally, any time there's a miscarriage, so there's always a higher likelihood that maybe something was wrong, right? So the Braisa, on some level, maybe is saying a little bit of a chiddush. Here, this woman, she miscarried a yad or a regal. Clearly, something was very unhealthy about the child that was developing. So here, maybe there would have been a havamina, ben benoy shel havamina, that you could assume that it came from a guf atum, so maybe you shouldn't have the halachas of leida. Either way, that's what the Mishnah said. It doesn't matter that those were the circumstances. Ein choshen shen shemem miguf atum bo. Rav Chizra, Rabbi Rav Huna, Tamei Chavayu, ein noisli meitar. They said even a bigger chiddush. They said that number one, Tumas Leida, but she's only going to have the chumers of Tumas Leida. She's not going to have the Yemei Tayernal. Meaning, anytime you talk about Tumas Leida, this is a little bit important right now. It's going to be very important the next two dafin. There's always kulas and there's chumras. You have the chumra of Tumas Leida. A woman gives birth to a child. She's Tamei. Zachar, 7 days. Nekeva, Shfuayim, 14 days. That's a chumra. She instantly becomes Tamei and at some point has to bring a carbon. But there's also a kula because after the Yemei Tumah, this Yemei Tayra, 33 days for a zachar, 66 days for a nekeva. So really, Tumas Leida is a double-edged sword. There's a tremendous chumra associated with it. There's also a tremendous kula that's associated with it. So Rav Chizda and Rabbi Rav Huna, they both agreed. They said that as relates to this woman, that was my palace, Yad Chutu, Bregat Chatucha, where we said that we're not chayish that it came from a guf atom. There's going to be dinei tumma v'tahira. No, it's only the chumra part. It's only the tumra part, but not the yemei time. My time, why not? Manashach. So he said, because eim herchika leidasa. Because be that we have no idea when this woman miscarried the child. We never saw this child come out. We don't know when it happened. Maybe it happened a few months ago. The point is, maybe the zman of Tumah and Tahira already passed. Now, we don't know. So L'chumra, she has to be Noyik Tumah now. But at the same time, L'chumra, we can't give her the Yemei Tayar. Not because we're concerned that maybe it came from a Gufatum. No. We are sure that there was a Leida. But at the same time, we don't know when it happened. And Yemei Tayar is not something that she gets and can carry with her forever. It's dafke at a very specific time. And being that that time may have already passed, so it's for that reason she's not going to get the Yemei Toya. Says the Gemara, Masiv Rav Yosef, I'll ask you a kasha from a Mishnah on tomorrow's daf. I'm a Peles, a woman was maple. She miscarried a child. She doesn't know what she miscarried. She has to keep Zachar in the cave. What's the kasha? If you're going to tell me that every time a woman miscarries a child, she doesn't know what she miscarried. So you always have to take three possibilities into account. Or Zachar Nikeva, but also maybe it happened, I don't know, a month ago, 2 months ago. Or maybe part of what she recognized now was only part, but the majority of it had happened already at an earlier date. So what's the kasha? Listen, Ula Nida. So why does the Mishnah say, L'chumra Zachar Nikeva? No, L'chumra, we should say three things. Zachar Nikeva Nida. What does Nida mean? Maybe any dam that she sees is dam Nida, as opposed to dam Toyar, so that why are we talking as if for sure either a Zachar or a Nekeva, which means for sure you may Tayar, I don't think she should for sure have you may Tayar. You should have to make a cheshbon of what this man Tayar is and go to Chumra and say that maybe it's regular Dam Nida, it's not from the Makar. Amar Abaya, Sabaya said, really, that is the halach of the Mishnah. So why did the Mishnah say Ulanida? Sabaya said a doichik. He said, because had the Mishnah said Ulanida, it would have been a little bit misleading. He said, Itan Ulanida, Hamamina, I would have thought Mavia Karbavain and Nechal. Kamash won the Nechal. Had it said Ulanida, would it sound like we're not 100% sure if she really gave birth to a child? That's what it would have sounded like. And in the event that we're not 100% sure that she gave birth to a bar kayama, it would have a nafgamina in the kachem part of Anisha's kisazria. The kachem component is that every yoledes has to bring a carbon when she completes her yamei tumo and her yamei taira. If, however, she has a suffix whether she has to bring a carbon, so what's the halacha? The carbon's brought, but it's not nechal. If you would tell me that lezachar ulekeva ulenida, it would sound like we're not sure if she even had a bar kayama. So you would bring the carbon, and you wouldn't eat the carbon. That's not good. You have to eat the carbon. No, sir, that's not a good thing. So what we say is, instead, that we left out ulenida, so that we should chap, there was a real leida over here, but at the same time, hamavinim yavinu, that it's only lechumra, and lechumra also, she's not going to get yamei tayar. What happens if an uber was moitzi his yad from the rechem of the mother, the hechzira, and then the hand came back in? Is that considered a leida, or is that not considered a leida? So said Rav Huna, imat me leida. The mother's going to be tummy to mas leida, meaning the fact that the hand left the mother, even it came back in, it constitutes a leida. How do I know that? So he said, I learned it from a pasuk. Pasuk is referring to Tamar, who gave birth to twins, as we spoke about in yesterday's daf. The tshuva from the Noi Debi Yehuda, Pianis and Ibish, is Drosha and Yaris Tvash. It says, Vayihi belidata, Vayiten yad, Vatikecham yaledes, Vatikecham yaledes, Sheini lemer, Ze yotza rishoino. But the pasuk says, Vayihi belidata, Vayiten yad. So what does it sound like? A yad is considered a lady. Must Rabbi Yehuda, is that true? Haitzu besi yadoi. Eine mechashash at chal davar. That's a beforeish a brayso. That if the yad came out, ain imach hashesh as chaldav. It's not considered a leida. Amar Rav Nachman, considered dim rishon neidir Rav Huna. No, I know what Rav Huna meant. What he meant to say was loshosh chayshes. You may toyar lo yavinol. That brayso that says hoytz yuber es yadoi ain imach hashesh as chaldavar doesn't mean ain chayshes. It means we don't give it. You may toyar. The kulas she doesn't get. Rav Huna, when he said it's considered a leida, he only meant l'chumra. Says the Gemara, adenafik rube. But the Gemara, it's not true. Vein eim l'cheshesh l'chol davar kamar. That's not what the Braisa said. Braisa says, ein eim l'cheshesh l'chol davar. It sounds like not only do we not give the mother yemei toyar, but it sounds like we don't look at this as a leida at all. Rabbi said, you're right. Edited it a little bit differently. Ein l'cheshesh l'chol davar midai raisa, ava midai rabbanon cheshesh. So Braisa was talking on the biblical level. Midai raisa, hoitzias yadai, is not considered a leida. When Rav Huna said, hoitzias yadai is considered a leida, he meant midai rabbanon. Frank the Gemara, vakra kama. Rav Huna's makar was a pasuk. Right, if Rav Huna would have walked into base medrash and would have said, a halacha, that's keneged a Braisa. Okay, the Braisa is midai raisa, Rav Huna's midai rabbanon. We've heard things like that before. But Rav Huna said, I have a pasuk in the Torah that teaches me that hoitzi uber es yadai, afal pishech zira, constitutes a leida. Frank the Gemara, how could you tell me he meant midirabanan? It's a pasuk. Zok the Gemara, you have to say midirabanan, the cross machtaba alma. Really, Rav Huna meant it midirabanan. He was bringing a pasuk as an asmachta, even though this asmachta is really keneged the din Torah. Right? It's interesting. Here it's keneged the din Torah, because midirabanan is not considered a leida. And here he has a pasuk that's telling me it is a leida, which is mamish fakered from what the pasuk says, like the shita sataz. It's fakered from what the pasuk says, but either way, that's what it means. Zok the Mishnah. Mishnah. Apeles tumtum the adroginus. A woman miscarried a tumtum and an adroginus. You sort of got the feeling that the Mishnah was going to come to this halacha at some point. So we're discussing all these different types of miscarriages and tumtum adroginus, which comes up in so many sugis hashas that deal with halachas of zachar and mekev. It comes up over and over and over and over and over again. So this is where the laws of tumtum adroginus meet the laws of Tumah V'Tahira as it relates to Tumas Yeledes and Perek HaMapelos. Either way, a woman miscarried or gave birth to, doesn't have to be a miscarriage, a Tumtum and an Adroginus. So the halacha is Teshev L'Zachar Ulenekeva. Whether it's a Tumtum or an Adroginus, so she has to observe the laws of Tumah V'Tahira both for a Zachar and for a Nekeva. Why? Because a tumtum is a safik zachar, safik nekeva, and an adroginus is a safik zachar, safik nekeva. Now, what's the difference between a tumtum and an adroginus? So a tumtum is a child that has a flap of skin, so we don't know, we have no way of determining with 100% certainty whether the child is a zachar or the child's a nekeva. An adroginus is a child that has simanim of both a zachar and of a nekeva. So as it relates to the laws of Tumah V'Tahira, both the zachar and both the tumtum and the adroginus are viewed to be safik zachar, safik nekeva. So from the standpoint of Tumah V'Tahira, we go to chumra with what? Tumtum v'zachar, adroginus v'zachar. What happens if a woman gave birth to a tumtum and a zachar? So she gave birth to twins. One was a boy, and the other one was a tumtum. One was a boy, and the other one was an adroginus. So what's the halacha? Teshu zachar nekeva. Right, seems very straightforward. Because one's a zachar, okay. The other one's either a zachar or a nekeva. So you have to go a zachar and a nekeva. Tumtum and a nekeva. What if it was a tumtum and a nekeva? Or an adroginus and a nekeva? Then teshev and a nekeva. Then all you have to do is keep the nekeva. Because in the worst case scenario, it's a nekeva. She anyways gave birth to a nekeva. So this is easy. Yatzam mechutach. What happens if a woman gave birth to a child, but it came out mechutach? It didn't come out in one whole child, but it came out in pieces. Oy mesuras, or the baby was delivered breech, meaning it didn't come out head first, it came out with its feet first. So the halach is mishiyatsa ruba yagrei kihol. When is it considered to have been a leda? So this is related to Rav Huna's memory that he said earlier. When is this considered to be a leda? When most of the baby leaves its mother's womb, then it's kihol. Yatsa kedarke. What if the baby was delivered naturally? Achi yatsa roiv roishas. Then the roiv of the body doesn't have to come out in order for it to be considered a leda. But when most of its head goes out, it's considered a leda. Vezeo roiv roishas. What's the definition of roiv roishas? Mishiyatsa padachta. When the forehead is delivered, that's when it's considered a leda. So if the baby is delivered naturally, this is an important halach in some of the sugyas. If it's delivered naturally, which means it comes out head first, then once the forehead of the baby comes out, is delivered, it's considered a leda. Tumas leda, other halachas as well. If, however, it comes out breech, so it's a nafkamina in the halachos of Tumas Leda, because then when the feet come out, it's not chashev enough yet that it should be considered a leda. So then you would need the majority of the baby to be delivered. Additionally, if it was yatzam v'chutach, if pieces came out, then too, it's not considered later until the majority comes out. What if it was yatzam v'chutach and the roish came out? So does the roish, does the head of the baby have a chashivos if it's severed from the rest of the body? That's tomorrow's stuff. So, the Gemara. Hashto tumtum l'chudei v'adroginus l'chudei yom. So what was the first halacha of the Mishnah? A woman gave birth to a tumtum and adroginus. Tumtum and adroginus halacha always viewed as safik zachar, safik nekeva. So as it relates to these halachas, very simple. Teshev l'zachar ul'nekeva. Because we're not sure. Then the Mishnah continued and said a second case. That if the woman gave birth to a tumtum and a zachar, an adroginus, and a zachar. So there too, the halach is the same. Teshev l'zachar in a keva. Why? The zachar is the zachar, and the tumtum might be in a keva. So on the tzad's in a keva, now you have to have zachar in a keva. Freit the Gemara. Hash the tumtum l'chudei v'adroginus l'chudei. Amar teshev l'zachar in a keva. Once he told me the first halach in the Mishnah, that if it was a zachar l'chudei v'adroginus l'chudei, you could stay l'zachar in a keva. Tumtum v'zachar, adroginus v'zachar mipayi. Then why do you have to tell me tumtum v'zachar and adroginus v'zachar? It's the same halacha. Meaning, once I know that a tumtum, you have to go to zachar and a keva, and adroginus, you have to go to zachar and a keva, so then I know it's, and this is very basic arithmetic, that if there was a tumtum and a zachar, if there was an adroginus and a zachar, the zachar is going to be the same. Mitzad the tumtum, mitzad the adroginus, you don't know if it's a zachar and a keva, so you're going to have to observe bro. Sahashto, once I know the first halacha, do I need to be told the second halacha? Sounds a little like it's a kal v'chomer, right? Hashto, mibaya. So I am the mefarshim what the kal v'chomer is. But Pasha, the Gemara is asking, what do I need this halacha for? Once I know Tumtum is a Safik Zachar, Safik Nekeves, what difference does it make if the Tumtum was born on itself or if the Tumtum was born with a Zachar? So the Gemara says a Geshmak Yisvara, based on something we saw already. It's Trich. No, there's a special Chiddush, because Ma'al Datei would have thought, Hoi, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Ish Mazriya Tchila, Yelad Zachar. When the woman is Mazriya Tchila, she gives birth to a boy. Ish Mazriya Tchila, when the man is Mazriya Tchila, Yelad Nekeva, she gives birth to a Nekeva. Amos, I would think, Mid Dahai Zachar, Nami Zachar. Maybe, being that it's less likely, the Gemara thinks, that a woman would give birth to a Zachar and a Nekeva, because Manavshach, was she Mazriya Tchila or was he Mazriya Tchila? So the chances of a Zachar and a Nekeva seem less likely to the Gemara, at least in the Havamina. And as a result, I would have thought, if a woman gives birth to a Tumtum, okay, you have no idea what a Tumtum is. It could be to Zachar, it could be to Nekeva. Maybe the Ish was Mazriya Tchila, then it would be a Nekeva. Maybe the Ish was Mazras Tchila, maybe it would be a Zachar. But here, when it was another child, and the other child is a Zachar, so he's saying Meres, it was Ish Mazras Tchila. Oh, if it was Ish Mazras Tchila, then maybe that should be a Hachra that the Tumtum is a Zachar. So maybe she shouldn't have to keep Nekeva. You're right, a Tumtum alone, you have no idea what happened. But here I have some circumstantial evidence, because I have a clue. I have some information here, because I know the other child was a Zachar. So maybe that should be a Gilui that this one was also a Zachar. Kamash Malan, it's not a Svara. Amish name is Riba Vazachas. So Zachar is a Nekeva. Even though there is such a fleeting havamina that the Gemara keeps on mentioning, but Lefia Emes, it's not that way. The Mishnah felt that it had to teach it to us, but the point of the Mishnah is that it's possible to give birth to twins. One is a Zachar, one is a Nekeva. What does it mean? Shneim Hizriu Bevas Achas. Either way, a Tumtum and a Zachar, you're going to have the same halacha that Tumtum might be a Nekeva. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav. So more halachos of Tumtum v'Adroiganis as they relate to Mesechtes Nida. Tumtum v'Adroiganis, Shera'u Loivan. So the first halacha was regarding Tumtum and Adroiganis. A woman gave birth to it. How does it affect Tumas Yeledes? Specifically, Perek Mapelas. So here we have a similar discussion. What happens if a Tumtum or an Adroiganis saw Loivan oy oydim? So there was a white substance that came out of the Tumtum and Adroiganis. Looks like Shechva Zera. Or there was a red substance that came out of the Tumtum and Adroiganis. Maybe it's Dam Nida. So here's the question. A woman that sees Dam Nida, you have the laws of Nida. A man that would have the equivalent thereof, obviously wouldn't have Tumas Nida. A man that's Moiti Zera has Tumas Keri. A woman, even though we saw she's subject to the concept of Keri, and maybe she even has the Isser of Zera Levatala, that we showed him in the beginning of Perek Kol Hayad, but she certainly doesn't have Tumas Keri. So if a woman is Moiti Zera, there's no concept of Tumas Keri. So here's the question. Is the Tumtum an Adroiganus, a Zachar, or an Akeva? If there was Oiden, is there Tumas Nida? If there was Loivin, is there Tumas Keri? So that's where Rav Nachman said, I heard in the name of Rav, Tumtum v'adroigin esheru Loivin, oi, Oiden, ein chayavin abiyas mikdash, vein tzarfin aleim esachuma. Meaning, if a Tumtum saw Oiden or Loivin, now walked into the base of mikdash b'shoigi, you don't bring the carbon for Tumas mikdash v'kadash. Additionally, if they touch truma, so you're not going to eat the truma, misafik, but also not going to burn the truma. Because essentially, you have a suffix whether or not they're tamei. If it was Oidim on the Tzad Nekeva, they're Tomei. On the Tzad Zachar, they're not Tomei. If it was Loivin on the Tzad Zachar, they're Tomei. On the Tzad Oidim, they're not going to be Tomei. What happens, however, if Ro Loivin Vi Oidim Ke'echad? What if the Tumtum or the Adroigin saw both, saw Loivin and Oidim? Now, Ke'echad doesn't mean they saw it at the same second, but they saw it at the same time. Loivin didn't go to the mikveh yet, now saw Oidim. So then the Allah is in Chayav and Albias Mikdash. Then they're not going to be Chayav Albias Mikdash. Avu Soyrif and Alein Esa Chumba. But they would be Soyrif the Truma. Now, let's go backwards. Sarfin Esa Truma makes sense. Because over here, let's pick one. The Tumtum saw Loivin, then saw Oidim. So, touches Truma. Obviously, you have to wear the Truma. Because Manavshach, if the Tumtum is a Zachar, then he's Tamei because of the Loivin. If the Tumtum is in a cave, then she's Tamei because of the Oidim. So, Manavshach, he or she is Tamei. Touch the Truma. You have to burn the Truma. Manavshach. So, that part of Rav's Halacha makes... Is very mistaber. But what about the other halacha? In chayav and albias mikdash. So in chayav and why in chayav and mikdash? So before we turn the page again, what's the halachas of tumas mikdash v'kadosh? If somebody is tame, he's tame tumas haguf, and he enters the beis hamikdash or he eats kachin b'shoigeg. The halachas he has to bring a carbon chatas, but not just any carbon chatas. The chatas that he has to bring is unique because it's one of the oil of a yoreh. So depending on what he can afford, that determines the type of carbon that he brings. But Tumas Mikdash, someone that's Tomei enters the Beis HaMikdash B'shoigi. Tumas Kodeshov, someone is Tomei and he eats Kachin B'shoigi. Regardless, at first glance, you would think that this Tumtum is Maman of Shach Tomei, either for the Loiven or for the Oiden. Now, enter the Beis HaMikdash B'shoigi. You should have to bring a carbon, says the Gemara. You know why not? See, he said, Shenema Mizachar, the Adne Keva Tishalecho. The Pasuk says, Mizachar Adne Keva Tishalecho. I'm reading the whole Pasuk. El Michutz La Machane. It's a Pasuk in Parashas Nasai. Tishalchum. Velo Yitamus Machane Mashuan Ishachim. It's one of the Pesukim that talk about a Tomei is not allowed to be in certain Machanois. Specifically, in this case, he can't be in the Makom HaMikdash. In the Pasuk says, Mi Zohar ad Nekeva Tishalechu. And Rav said the following drasha, Zohar Vadai Nekeva Vados. V'loi Tumtum Vadragonis. So you're right, in Svara, Memorav Shach, that Loch should be Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav. But Rav said a Chabad drasha. It says, Zohar Vadai Nekeva Vados. That's why you're not going to have this Aloch. Says the Gemara, Lim Sayeli. At first glance, Rav's phenomenal chiddush is a mefurish of rice. You'll see, almost verbatim. Tum tavad dragon ishro leiven ayoidim. Tum tavad dragon ishro leiven or oidim. So either in chayavan al bias mikdash vein tzavar leinas hatruma. Very simple. In chayavan bias mikdash because maybe they're not tame. In tzavar leinas hatruma because maybe they're not tame. Because they saw either the white or the red. Ro u leiven ve oidim kachas. Whatever. If the tum tavad dragon ishro both, so then the halachas in chayavan al bias mikdash. Alvul sarfen leinas hatruma. Again, sarfen leinas hatruma. That we understand because maman of shach the tum tavad dragon is tame. However, in Chayavin, Albias Mikdash. This is Mamish Rav Zalach. Right, it's Lema Misayele, exactly Rav Zalach. Says the word, my time, Elam Yishum Shenema Mizachar and the Kevin Shalechu, Zachar Vadi and the Kevin Vados. Isn't the Halacha Rav Zalacha, and isn't the underlying reason, Rav's underlying reason as well, meaning Lema Misayele to Rav? And the Gemara surprisingly says, no, Amarulullah, it's not Muchach. I mean, this is like Mafurish. So the Gemara says, no, I don't think this is Rav Zalacha. Hamani Rebbe Eliezer, this could be going according to Rebbe Eliezer. How we learned in the Mishnah, Rebbe Eliezer says, it says in the Torah, Hasheretz v'nela mimenu, al helem sheretz u'chayiv, ve'inei chayiv al helem mikdash. So again, when is somebody subject to the laws of Tumas Mikdash v'kadosha? If somebody's Tomei Tumas Haguf, he enters the Beis HaMikdash or eats Kachin, the Shoygeg, that loch is Yasmin Karmachatas. Yasmin Ganoil of a Yoyik. How do you define Shoygeg? So Shoygeg means there was a halama. On some level, the person didn't realize something that maybe he was supposed to have been aware of. He's a Paisheya, that's why a Shoygeg needs Kapara, because on some level, you should have been more careful. You should have known what you were supposed to know. But this person was a Shoygeg. What could the Shoygeg have been? So you would think it's one of two things. Either he didn't realize that he's Tomei, or he didn't realize he was entering the Beis HaMikdash. Where he thought he was going, I'm not sure. But he didn't realize he was entering the Beis HaMikdash. Or he just didn't realize he was Tomei. And that is the Shita of the Tana Kama that the Gemara doesn't quote. But in that Mishnah, in Masechet Shavuos Daf Yudalet. So the Tana Kama holds that what's the definition of Vinelam? What's the definition of Shigaga as it relates to Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav? The person did not realize one of the two basic criteria that you need for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Either he realized it was Tomei, or he didn't realize that he was entering the Beis HaMikdash. It's after that Tana Kama the Rebbe Eliezer comes. And he says, I disagree. Because it says in the Torah, Hasheretz v'nelam, oy nefesh ashetiga b'chol dover tamei, oy benivlas chaya tamei, oy benivlas behema tamei, oy benivlas sheretz tamei. Right, we've seen this in the past, that the Gemara goes into such great lengths to describe how the person became Tomei in the context of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. The Chol Dover Tomei, Oy Benivlas Chaya Tomei, Oy Benivlas Behemet Tomei, Oy Benivlas Sheretz Tomei. Either way, at the very end, the Pasuk says, V'nilami Meno, he didn't realize he was a Shoygeg, V'hu Tomei V'Oshim, and he did an Avera. But the words Tomei, or the word Tomei immediately follows which word? Sheretz. And Rebbe Eliezer said, you know what you see from here? It says Hasheretz. Then it says Tomei Venelam. You know what you learn? Venelam imenu al helam sheretz uchayev ein chayev al helam mikdash. That the only time somebody's chayev Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav is if the Venelam was Sheretz. He didn't realize that he was Tomei. But if the halama was not he didn't realize he was Tomei, but rather the halama was that he didn't realize that he was entering the Beis HaMikdash, you're not going to have the halachas of Tumas Mikdash Kadosh. Rabbi Kiva says something very similar. V'nela mimenu v'hu Tomei al helim tumah hu chayiv v'nei chayiv al helim mikdash. Rabbi Kiva said the same halacha, seemingly, but he wasn't taking the word v'nelam and applying it two words earlier to Sheretz, but he was moving back. Vinela mimenu v'hu tamei. Again, the halama has to be related to the tum. The Gemara, this is my binayu. What's enough to mean to Rebbe Lezer Rabbi Kiva? It's important for the cheshbon of the Gemara. V'mechizki says Sheretz in the Beit Binayu. What would be if a person, when he became tamei, wasn't sure how he became tamei? Say he touched either a Sheretz or an Avelo. either one is tame. He's just not sure which one he touched. Then he forgot that he was tame in the first place, and he entered the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, in that case, do you have Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh Avanah? Rabbi Eliezer says, he was focusing on the word Sheretz. So it's not enough that you knew you were Tomei, then you forgot you were Tomei. You would have had to know the Suk Tumah. You would have to know if it was Tumas Sheretz or Tumas Nevelah. Rabbi Akiva holds Loi B'Inon, that you don't need to. It's not important to know what type of Tumah you had. So says the Gemara, very Geshmak. Lab Omer Rabbi Eliezer. What do you see from this, Rabbi Eliezer? Holds a gewaldige halach in the laws of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh, that if a person doesn't know the exact definition of his state of Tumah, he can never be subject to the laws of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh. So it says the Gemara, didn't Rabbi Eliezer say the be'inan the yeda ibesheretz itmi b'deveila itmi hachanami, so too as relates to the tumtum be'inan the yeda ibeloivin itmi ibeoidim itmi, this tumtum who had dam nida and he had shichva zera, so you'll tell me mamon of shach, if he's in a cave he's telling me Tumas nida, if he's a zach he's up to Tumas kare. So now if he enters the base of Mikdash B'shoi Gidah Lachash B'dei should be subject to the laws of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh, says the Gemara, not according to Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer holds that if somebody became tummy either from touching a sheretz or from touching an avela, and then he was showing against his debase on mikdash, he wouldn't have the halachas of mikdash v'kadosh, because you have to know if was it b'sheretz or was it b'nevela. So in our, so you have to know if it's tumas nido, if it's tumas keri. Says the Gemara, so coming full circle, Rav said a halacha that if a tumtum had keri and nido, the halacha is enters the base of Mikdash B'Shoigi, there's no Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh. Everybody said, really? That sounds like a huge chiddush. I mean, you'd be sorry of Truma, because you know for sure he's Tameh. So why not Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh? So you said, no, it's a pasuk. It says, Mizochar ad nekeva tishalechu, tafke zochar vaday, nekeva vados, tumtum and adroigidus, the Torah was memait from these halachas. So as a result, there's no Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh when it comes to tumtum and adroigidus. So Marcel, at first glance, I think it's a Mefurish HaBraisa. The Braisa says the same exact halach. Marcel says, no, it's not a Mefurish HaBraisa. Because the Braisa maybe is Rabbi Eliezer. So that's our Rabbi Eliezer. He's mentioned in a Mishnah. Rav wasn't saying over Shita's Rabbi Eliezer. He wasn't saying over Rabbi Eliezer. If this is machloikis chacham and Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer, the halacha is not going to be like Rabbi Eliezer. So it was obvious Rav wasn't going to Rabbi Eliezer. Rav was coming in and he was saying a new chiddush. He was saying, forget about Rabbi Eliezer's shita in Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Ich will zog and I feel like Rabbi Akiva. I feel like the chacham. There's a new din. Mi zocher ad nekeva tishalechu, that only a zocher vade and a nekeva vados, a subject to the laws of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. That you don't have. That, for that you need a makar, and for that you don't have a braisa. Because the Leib Messayele could always be going according to Rabbi Eliezer. There's no hechrich. Then as a result, you would have no raya that this is going, says the Gemara. V'Rav, Maishno Bias Mikdash Loi. So bottom line, coming back to Rav's halacha. Rav said a tumtum and an adroigenis do not have the halachas of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Says the Gemara, why not? We just said, because the pasuk says mizochar and nekeva deshalechu zochar vaday unekeva vados. Then I think you shouldn't burn truma either. Why? Because the pasuk says vahazov es zoyvoy la zochar vilenakeva. So the pasuk over there is discussing zoyz teres hazov. It's giving us the general halachos of zov. Next pasuk, v'hazov ezoivoy lazachar v'lanekeva. It sounds like that the only time you have the halachas of zov and zoivoy, meaning nida and keri, right? These are all me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa'inyan. So zachar v'ade nekeva v'ados v'loy tumtum v'adroigenes. So if you're going to go down this road and darshan mizachar ad nekeva with regards to a very specific halacha in the Torah of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh, why don't you make the same exact rasha in the Iker Pasik that talks about Tumas Zav and Zav and Nida, etc. And that Pasik seems to say the same words Zachar Nekeva, tell me Tumtum v'adroigenes on a smite from the Tumah. L'maynaf k'minaf den a smite from the Tumah. They don't have Tumah at all. There is no Tumah. So if they touch Truma, you don't even have to be sorry if the Truma. Rav's Darshan Zachar Nekeva with regards to Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh, Darshan Zachar Nekeva in the context of the Torah presenting the whole halacha of Tumas Nida and Tumas Zav and Tumas Zav and Tumas Keri, and they shouldn't be subject to these halachas at all. So the Gemara says, I hear, but we already need that Zachar Nekeva to darshan something else. Rabbi Yitzchak Salach, Rabbi Yitzchak said, Lazachar, when it says in the Torah, Lazachar, regarding the Zav, it's the Rabbi says, Hamitzayr, Lemay Noisim. So we know that any Mayon, any fluids that come out of someone that has Tumas Agov are Tomei as well. How? What about a Mitzayr? So the halacha is, yeah, and it's learned out from the word Lazachar. teaches me, Rabbi says, I'm a tzeiras, l'mayin say, ha. But either way, I need Zohar in the cave over there for drashas, therefore Rav couldn't use it. As it relates to Tumas, Mikdash, V'kadoshav, they were able to use, hay nami feit, the Gemara, v'boilu, mishi yesh, l'tayre, b'mikvah, pratlik, kli cheres, divi Rabbi Yossi. Says the Gemara, Mizohar in the cave, we also need to teach me something. Because we learn from Mizohar in the cave, that a kli cheres, that's tame, is allowed to be in the base of Mikdash. It's learned out from something similar to a zocher and a keva that have tahira b'mikvah. You mean that stomach can go to the mikvah? Kli doesn't have tahira b'mikvah. And we learn from there, mishyesh l'tahira b'mikvah. So don't we need zocher and a keva to teach me that halacha? How could Rav use this halacha to teach me the halacha of tumtum and adroginess? So the Gemara says, no, because imkein nichtvei rachman adam. If all the Torah wanted to do was be mamai kli cheres, could have said adam. Why have to get involved? Male, female, adam. And adam I would know, mishyesh l'tahira b'mikvah, as opposed to kli cheres. Chitem, you can tell me, because rachman adam have a mikvah, matchis loy. Maybe the reason wanted to the Torah said Mizachar ad Nekeva is to teach me Mizachar ad Nekeva and everything in between, anything similar to a Zachar and a Keva that has Tyre b'mikvah. But had it said Adam, then I would have thought that it has to be literally Dumya to the Prat, Adam, and I would have excluded Matchis as well. So maybe the Zachar and a Keva is not coming to be my Tumtum and Atrek. It's coming to be Marbakli Matchis, that if it's Tomei and in the base of Mikdash, you have to take it out. And Bimamayit, Kli Cheres. So the Gemara says it's not true because Mikol Tomei Lenefesh Nafka, that's learned out from a different pasuk. The pasuk that says Kol Tomei Lenefesh. And if that's the case, Zohar Unikeva Lamali, Hasbi, Lichidirav. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Emekulo Lichidirav Udasa. Meaning the Gemara brought a braisa that learned from Mizachar, the Adnikeva, Limu'ute Kli Cheres. Once we have Rav's halach of Zohar Nekev, it's coming to my Tumtum Adroigenes. So how do you know that a klicheres that's Tomei, you don't have to take out of the Beis HaMikdash? Because it says Zohar Nekev, I need Zohar Nekev to teach me Tumtum Adroigenes. And Kein Dichtev Rachmano, Zohar Unekev. My Mi Zohar Ad Nekev, Mi Zohar Until Nekev, Ad Kol Dova Sheesh Le Tairo B'Mik. Freik the Gemara Akash. So you're telling me now that when it says in the Torah, Mi Zohar Ad Nekev Tishalechu, the halacha is a tumtum and androgynous that have damnida and carry, even though manav shach you would think the tumtum or androgynous atame, doesn't matter. There's no halacha of tumas machanus. You don't have this adin of tishalechu al michutz la machanet tishalchun v'leitamus machaneim. There's certainly not going to be the carbon chatos, the oil of yoyer that you usually would have a tumas mikdash v'kadosh. But it sounds like from the Gemara, this is only true if the tumtum and the androgynous became tame through either nida or carry with this mara loivan or this mara oidam. What would be if a tumtum touches a sheretz, and now the tumtum enters the Beis HaMikdash b'shoigeg? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, the Chachamim, respectfully, they checked off the boxes. Do they bring the Tumas Mikdash for Kadoshov right now? Would they bring the carbon oil of a yoyre? So from Rav's halach, it sounded like yeah, but based on the drasha, it should be no. Because if you're telling me mizachar ad nekeva teshalechu that a zachar vada in nekeva vados, meaning it sounds like the miut should be in the gavra of the tumtum in the gavra of the adroigenes. So fake the gemara ihachi ki itmi b'shar tumas loy v'shalchu. It doesn't sound like that from Rav. It sounds like it was a din dafka regarding the mara oidim and the mara loivon. So the gemara says amakra mizachar. You're right. The drasha is mizachar ad nekeva. But mi zachar mi tuma ha-pireshes min ha-zachar. Ad nekeva, the same is true with nekeva as well. So even though you're right, the drasha is being mamai de garva, but we're limiting it to tuma that comes from a zachar, tuma that comes from a nekeva. That's why it's only true with regards to maru loivin and maru. Fei digmar p'cha'echa, the simi zachar ad nekeva, l'muti tumtum ha-dragines u'dasa. Just taking a step back. Rav's drasha, mi zachar ad nekeva, zachar vada in nekeva vadas. There's no halacha of tumtum and adroigens. Right, the Gemara, is that true? Gabi Erichin. What about by Erichin? So what's Erichin? Learned that Masechta not so long ago. If somebody takes upon himself the Erich of Ploini, so he says, I want to make a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't say $180. He says, no, I want my donation to be whatever Chaim Yankel's worth. That's how much I'm going to give. The Torah says, how much is Chaim Yankel worth? So it doesn't really matter because there's a very fixed price list that was supposed to refer to. Is Chaim Yankel a Zohar? Yeah, okay. How old is he? He's between the ages of this and that. So depending on gender and age, that will determine how much money this person now has to give to the bit. Now, when the Pasuk talks about it, it clearly differentiates between Zohar and Nekeva because Zohar has its value in the Torah and Nekeva has its value in the Torah. Now, the Pasuk over there says, V'hoye erkecha, Hazachar. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa. Hazachar. V'loy tumtum. The adroigenes. Learned that from the hay. The hay hayadiyah.
has zachar l'mutitum d'vajoyginis. Yochalo yeh berachish, avay yeh berachish. I would think the tum d'vajoyginis shouldn't be included in the erech of ish. Maybe they're included in the erech of anisha. Talmud loymar has zachar v'im nekeva. From the v'im nekeva, we learn zachar vaday nekeva vadoyz v'loy tum d'vajoyginis. What's the kasha? Time d'chsev has zachar v'im nekeva. You need all these yiturim ha mizachar v'nekeva loy memaid. But from the word zachar alone and the word nekeva alone, you wouldn't be able to be memaid. How does it shum with Rab? Rab just darshin mizachar and nekeva tishalechu that the word zachar there doesn't say hazachar, it doesn't say the im nekeva. So the Gemara says no, very simple. Because ahumi bayale lechalik bein erechish leerechisha. There's no miyot, there's no drosh in that pasuk. When the pasuk said zachar and nekeva, it had to say zachar and nekeva. It's negeya the halacha. There's a halacha for a zachar, zachar and nekeva. How much? What's the erech of a zachar? What's the erech of a nekeva? The Torah had to tell me. So the Torah had only one way of saying it, by mentioning the word zachar, by mentioning the word nekeva. Rav was making a diak in our sugya, because in our sugya, Rav felt, why did the Torah have to mention zachar and nekeva in the first place? It could have just said mi adam, mi zachar vad nekeva. Therefore, he darshaned over here, zachar vaday, nekeva vadar.